And there's wonderful research that shows that children who are emotionally intelligent or adults that are emotionally intelligent do better in life. They do better in academics. They're able to focus more in a class when they understand what their own feelings are happening within themselves and what's happening within a group. And in our school model, we not only have an emphasis on critical thinking, but critical problem solving, and that involves groups. So our kids are constantly engaged where they are having to work in small groups.
Social emotional intelligence. It's kind of a mouthful. Specifically, what does that mean?
Yes. What that means is the movement right now in education in this country, and there's even a bill before Congress, is to teach our students social emotional learning. So what that means is how to get along well with others, to be able to understand your own emotions, to understand what words to use to work as a problem solver in a group, to be able to navigate the complication of relationships. There's an emphasis on being aware of reading nonverbal cues, being aware of what are pro-social behaviors, what helps kids be successful and happy in life. That word happy sometimes can be overused. Mm. It's interesting, when I give a tour on campus, I'll ask parents, why have you chosen to look at our school? And they say, well, we want our kids to be in a thriving learning environment, but we also want them to be happy. We want them to like learning and like going to school. And I feel it is a responsibility of a school to be able to teach to the social emotional needs of a child. For me, when I think back to my own education, if I have something happening emotionally that might have happened on the playground, it's harder to learn that science lesson because I'm still back in that engagement that happened on the playground. And if we can teach our kids to navigate those relationships and to move through their emotions quickly with identification of, I feel this way because, and this is how I can solve that problem. I can talk with this person and then I feel better and now I'm in a more peaceful place to be able to learn. And so at Sussex, we have an emphasis of individual coaching from teacher to student. We have a mentor program with bigs to littles where students can talk with one another. We have a peace table.
Bigs to littles.
Bigs to littles is a term that we use at Sussex for our mentor-mentee program. So younger kids are paired with older kids. And they work to develop that relationship over a year. They come together a couple times a week to do activities, to read with one another. And then it's also just a support person when they're out on our 2.5-acre campus to be able to say, oh, there's my big or there's my little. I'm going to check in and see how they are doing today. And what we have found through that program is that there is a kindness that is prevailing on our campus from the older to the younger kids, and a caring that's very authentic. It's very powerful for an older child to say, hey, you might not want to do that, versus me, for say, as the adult. There's something that's heard maybe in a quicker way on a peer level.
Ms. Caddy, these skills that you mentioned, reading nonverbal cues, problem solving, isn't this preloaded software? I mean, you either have it or you don't, yeah?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I think that there some people are more prone to that intelligence, that interpersonal intelligence or the intrapersonal intelligence. But just like any intelligence within the multiple intelligence model, you need opportunities and exercises to build that intelligence. So how you build that intelligence is to solve problems within that domain. So, for example, if you and I were out on the playground and or we're working in a group in a classroom and you said something and I said something and we were at a conflict point, we have to get to the other side of that to be able to build that intelligence. Oh, I understand why I was triggered that way. I understand why what you're saying now. If I use these words, it helps build that relationship versus turn off that relationship. And by solving those problems within that domain of those intelligences, we constantly increase our emotional intelligence. And that is a wonderful life skill to be able to get on with relationships, to marriage, happiness in life, to work relationships.
Is there ever a time for a good old-fashioned shoving match?
No. Not at our school and not in my mind. I think that we have a responsibility to teach our students skills to be able to navigate those higher emotions. Sometimes it's just, let's take a break and then we'll come back to talk with one another. But again, if you punch someone in life, there are consequences and there are negative consequences, and that's not how you solve conflict.
Where did this approach come from?
Well, it's been around a long time. It's wonderful that it's starting to gain more momentum in our country. This institute that I went to brought 62 educators from around the world together to say, what can we do in our schools? Teachers have been doing this for a long time individually. It's exciting to see whole school approaches to creating programs where we create a common language. These are our guidelines. These are our community agreements. At Sussex, we've had community agreements that involve similar things to all I ever needed to know I learned in kindergarten. Respect one another, keep safe boundaries, ask for what you need, those things. But in actual practice, the kids need more opportunities to go back and revisit those. And programs that are popping up in different parts of the country right now are more formula-driven programs where if you do this, then this happens, or there might be a mood meter of, okay, there are four colors here. Which mood is speaking to you right now? So tangible programs to be able to build the skills from a kindergarten learner all the way to an eighth grade learner, because obviously those are different.
Are there vignettes as well? You have a small group of kids get together and you create a phony conflict and then you instruct how to go
right.
to solve that.
Right, yeah. We've done that in the past and we'll continue to do that because role-playing, and we have a wonderful drama program at our school, those types of role-playing really help kids try on different identities and build those skills without being in the middle of a conflict.
How effective is this, or is there a proven track record here, or is it just kind of too soon to know?
I think we've had a proven track record at Sussex in that kids feel safe at our school. They like coming to school. They feel that they'll be heard. Here is a great example. A couple of years ago, I had a middle school student transfer into Sussex, and just based on peer dynamics at that level, the student came in and started making fun of one of the other kids in the class. And it wasn't the teacher or me that had to step in. It was a couple of students that said, hey, we don't do that here. We don't make fun of other kids here. That's not okay. You can be whomever you want to be. And, you know, that is exactly the type of kindness, the type of language that we want to see at our school where our students are actually carrying through with that.
What if it goes the other way? One of the students who's been trained in this goes to a public school somewhere else. Their parents move. Would they be eaten alive in a more traditional public school setting?
Well, we've had kids transfer, and we haven't found that. What we hear from our traditional schools in Missoula when we have Sussex kids that transfer is that Sussex kids are able to communicate in a way that speaks to questions they might have or their needs that they have. They easily navigate relationships. There's a confidence about them socially, and that's what we have heard.
What sort of impact does it have on the other side of the desk from the teacher's perspective?
From the teacher's perspective, it's very fun to teach a group of kids who are motivated to create an environment where anyone can be themselves, whether that you're wearing a certain hat to school or you like a certain sport. It's wonderful to teach motivated kids who are authentic.
Not trying to be snarky, but American schools generally have a challenging enough time teaching science, mathematics, English, literacy. Would you like to see this spread elsewhere, or can schools barely do what they're trying to, most other schools do what they're trying to do right now?
That's a great question. The research is compelling that if you take a moment to teach to the social emotional need of a child or a group, your academic memory and your academic engagement increases. So students retain information, they're more engaged because they've had the time to air out how they're feeling or have student choice. And there are teachers in schools all over this country, whether it be labeled a progressive school or a traditional school, that have done that since their career began. It's really neat to see a whole school approach, which we have at Sussex, and we have the ability to do that as an independent school.
Is this a school's responsibility to do this, or is this more a parent's responsibility?
Well, I believe that in education, students spend a big portion of their day, and that's where they're involved in relationships on a peer level. And I think it's the responsibility of a school to work this into a curriculum.
I've been speaking with Robin Getty, director of Missoula Sussex School. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you so much.